If you would look in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, when I've been with you, we've been on the subject on Sunday. We've got a new series going for a couple of weeks now called All Kinds of Prayer. Now, there was a series that went before it called Teach Us to Pray. And if you weren't with us on that, we recommend that you watch it, you listen to it. You can just go to the website, and it's there available, all of it, video, audio. You can download it, no charge for any of it. It won't cost you anything, but it'll help you because we're building now on what went before. Amen. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he was talking about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, standing against all the wiles and trickery of the enemy. And he got down to verse 17, finishing talking about the armor, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, having received all of the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, that leads you up to this: praying always with all prayer. Now, this lets you know that your prayers will be resisted. And you'll be attacked when you try to pray. I shouldn't say try. When we pray. What are y'all laughing about? Huh? I caught myself. The enemy, one of the definitions we gave of prayer back sometime in our previous study, was prayer is working with heaven. Amen. If you'll notice what we call the Lord's Prayer, that's the first part of the prayer. Our Father, help me out. Lord. Where?
Heaven.
Heaven. Heaven's not earth. Huh? The rest of the prayer goes, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now see, this is the first part of the prayer. And the Lord didn't give us these phrases for us to just say these same phrases over and over, vain repetitions, mindlessly. This is, you can say this whole prayer in less than a minute. And sometimes Jesus, we saw, prayed all night long. Well, he's not just mindlessly repeating the same phrases. These are the areas of emphasis. He said, pray after this manner. These are the things you pray about. These are the areas of prayer that you focus on. And the first one is heaven and earth. God's kingdom and God's will being accomplished in the earth like it is in heaven. So prayer is working with God and working with heaven to accomplish God, his kingdom, heaven's will in the earth.
Amen.
Well, the enemy is going to oppose that. He's going to do everything he can to stop that from happening, to stop you from praying correctly, something heaven could work with, and to hinder something coming from heaven into the earth. Because he has now assumed the role of God of this world. The devil himself has. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is a usurper. He is a thief. He hates humanity. This earth was not his. It was given to men. And Adam and Eve bowed their knee and listened to the devil and lost it. And so the enemy is running this now. And that's why it's such a lie to blame God for all the problems that's going on the planet. No. And if God's will was being done everywhere on the planet, we wouldn't need to pray that it would be. Can you see this? So the enemy will try to, first of all, just keep you from praying at all. And sadly, that's where most Christians are. They barely pray, if any, ever, hardly at all. But God needs people working with Him. And you, the armor of God is what you need. Let's just take one of the first pieces. Gird with truth. Amen. What's the enemy trying to do to you all the time?
Lie
to you. Lie to you, deceive you. And if you don't have the truth on, you're going to be vulnerable. Right? And then the breastplate of righteousness. Well, one of the things the devil will tell you, you're such a poor excuse of a Christian. Why would you think God would ever hear your prayer? You got no point in even trying to do any of this. Well, see, that if you don't have the righteousness of God on, you're exposed. Those fiery darts will just pierce right into you. And you go, yeah, ain't nothing to me. You know, no reason to think God would hear my prayer. And so you won't pray. So I'm just giving an example. You can see, be strong in the Lord. Put all the armor of God on and what? Pray. Now you're ready. Now you're protected. Right? And would have an idea which way to pray. Something God can work with. And accomplish God's will in the earth. We're here for a short time. And what you want and what I should want above all things is that God's will would be done in us and in our life before we get out of here. We'll soon be out of here. Elsewise, we will have wasted our time and our opportunities. Because His, you know, 1 John talked about he that doeth the will of God abides or lasts forever. The only thing that lasts is His will. His things. Everything else will be long forgotten. Not too much of time. In the NIV, it says it like this. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. God's Word translation says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. So obviously, there's more than one kind of praying. We mentioned last time, and maybe we'll have, you know, the Lord directs, we'll go over them individually. But there's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of intercession. You see what I'm saying? Bible calls giving of thanks prayer.
Yes.
And you'll find if you read in the book of Psalms, a lot of those psalms are prayers. They're actually prayers. But anyway, there's more than one kind. I know my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he said people would ask him when he'd talk about some of these things, they'd say, well, prayer's prayer, isn't it? He'd say, well, yeah, and sports is sports. But you don't play football with basketball rules. Right? You'd be hopelessly confused. And I believe the Lord gave him that example because it's a lot of light there. There's different kinds of praying. For instance, it's appropriate to pray the prayer of submission and prayer of dedication with an if it be thy will. Huh?
Amen.
Your will be done if it be thy will, just like what Jesus prayed in the garden. It's not okay to pray the prayer of faith with an if it be thy will. You with me? That means you're wavering. And if you're wavering, you won't receive.
Right.
So which one's right? They're both right. Right?
Yes.
You don't have to choose between football and basketball.
Right.
Baseball. Right? But you know they're going to be operating differently. Different rules. Different ways. So We talked some about, and go ahead and go with me to 1 Corinthians. We talked some about what it means to pray in the Spirit. Because this is a much misunderstood thing. 1 Corinthians 12, let's start there. In verse 1. He said, concerning spiritual gifts, or actually, literally it just says spirituals. Sometimes people overemphasize the word gifts. The word manifestations describes all of them. And these are not gifts that are given to people and then the person can use that gift as they choose. That is not reality. That's not how it works. So a good way of thinking, he says, concerning spirituals is the literal. And you could say things of and pertaining to the Spirit. I would not have you ignorant. Now, when he starts the conversation with that, what do you know? There is gross ignorance on this subject. There's whole denominations that completely avoid this chapter. Right? And they try to explain it into all of the, you know, that the manifestation of different kinds of tongues. Well, that's just people with linguistic ability to learn other languages. Huh? Gifts of healings. Well, that's doctors and nurses. No, it's not. No. Spiritual manifestations. Amen. Come on, are y'all with me? These are not natural, they're spiritual. And your understanding of it would have to be consistent with all the others and all the other scriptures. But anyway, he's talking about spiritual things. Now, why am I talking about this? Because he told us praying in the Spirit. Everybody say praying in the Spirit.
Praying in the Spirit.
Praying in the Spirit. Now, one thing we saw here, you're in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Look in the 14th chapter. 14 and 14. He said, if I pray in a tongue, the word unknown is in italics, means it's not in the original. If I pray in a tongue, now I know why they put unknown, because the inference is the language is unknown to the speaker of the language. But that doesn't mean it's unknown. If I pray in a tongue, what's happening?
My spirit
is praying. So we're getting somewhere now, right?
Yeah.
But my what?
Understanding
is unfruitful. This helped me years ago as much as anything to distinguish the difference. If you're talking about praying in the Spirit, that's not with your understanding. He distinguishes between them. And the difference is where the utterance is coming from. It's not coming out of your intellect. It's not some, if you sat down and you planned the prayer and then you read the prayer, then you're not praying in the Spirit. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm not saying that some of it wasn't inspired when you wrote it down. It could be. But here, can you see he distinguishes between the understanding and the Spirit?
Amen.
They are not the same. Proverbs 3, you know, talks about this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, that's not talking about your blood pump. That's like the heart of the watermelon, the heart of an oak tree. What is that? The heart. The core, the inner part. Well, trust, you don't trust God with your head. Faith is not of the intellect. Faith is not logic and reasoning. Faith is of the heart. Same place love is. Huh? I mean, yeah, I don't have to be around too long to say love is not reasonable. Not the result of reasoning and intellect. Well, faith isn't either. And if anybody says, well, I'm sorry, I just can't believe all that. That is an untrue statement. You can believe anything. Period.
Amen.
Huh? It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be right. You can believe. That's obvious, right?
Amen.
Just look around. People are believing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Faith, trust is a choice. You simply choose to. If somebody tells you something, even if it, you know, if I told you something and it sounded fantastical, and what you do is you look at me and you have to make a choice, right? Huh? Do I believe him or not? You weren't there, so you just decide, yeah, I believe you, Brother Keith, or no, I don't. And that's based on your perception of who I am. My character, right? Am I a liar or am I honest? Am I unfaithful or am I faithful? Well, that's what we do with God. And I'm going to believe it is impossible for God to lie. Huh? Can you trust what he tells you? Oh, you can. And when he tells you something, regardless of whether you understand it or not, trust him. The one who said it. Right? And just choose to believe him. And that honors him. And without that, it's impossible to please him. But with it, he is pleased. Keep reading. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? So let's just stop right here. This couldn't just be praying in another language that you learned, because you would understand it. Right? This is speaking in a language you don't understand. You're speaking in a language and your head doesn't have a clue what you're saying. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit of God came and filled them. And the Bible said they all spoke with other tongues and they gave glory to God. And if you read the epistles, the Ephesians, the Corinthians, the Colossians, the Galatians, the Thessalonians, all those folks were tongue talkers.
Amen.
All of them were. It's only in recent times that people have gotten away from this and become intellectual and decided, well, that was just a sign for the times and that doesn't apply to us. No, no, honey child. Every child of God, every believer can and should speak with other tongues. And if you say, well, I've been prayed for multiple times, it didn't happen, so I just, you know, understand that that's not for everybody. I gave you some of my testimony, what, a week or two ago. I went to the altar, I don't know, hundreds of times. I was prayed for. I was beat on and shaved my mustache and didn't receive. And all that proved was that I didn't know what I was doing. Huh? All it proved is for some reason I wasn't receiving. But it was the will of God. And it is the will of God. And thank God I got a hold of Brother Kenneth Hagin's materials. And oh, hallelujah. Received. And this is a big part of my life. Big part of Phyllis in my life every day. We speak in other tongues every day. Now, you remember what we were talking about earlier. If you judge that wrong. And you think, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's good. Well, you won't be bothered with it. You won't have it. And just be your loss. But the beginning days of the church, they all did.
Amen.
Not just a handful. They all did. And that's what he's talking. So when he wrote to them centuries and centuries ago and said, pray in the Spirit, they knew what he's talking about.
Hallelujah.
Right? And if we'll accept the word, we know what he's talking about too. Now, it's not limited to praying in tongues. There is praying what we call prophecy. Now, the moment you say that, people think you're talking about the prophet's ministry, and you're not. Or they think you're talking about foretelling things, and you're not. The scripture says in Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, what do you mean? You know, when I grew up, where I grew up, we had testimonies. Right? During the service. And people said, anybody got a good testimony? You know? I see people nodding here. Folks stand up, you know, and you know, different ones that testify. Sometimes they start off the same way. I just want to thank God today that my grandmother, Sister Lena Pearlmore. Now, see, down south, we have two names. In case something happens to one of them, you got a backup. Yeah, some of my family's names, my uncles were, let's see, Rufus and Ada, and Roscoe and Royleen, Coit and Sister Odessa. Good names, man. What are y'all laughing about? My mom used to get irritated if somebody asked a question about my accent, because it was even much more pronounced years ago than it is now. And boy, it rubbed her the wrong way. Somebody said, "Well, what? Boy, Brother Keith has a funny accent." She'd bristle. She'd say, "Well, where do they come from?" How'd we get into that? But testimony. Mm-hmm. Testimony. If somebody stands up and testifies, they can just talk and say something and there's no anointing on it. Amen. Or there are times when somebody begins to testify and the Spirit of God's on it.
Amen.
Huh? And sometimes they get to talk about what God did for them and just go out over the whole crowd. And we've seen people get happy and run. Yeah. Right?
Yes,
well, see, they weren't just talking something out of their head. They were sharing out of their heart. And it was coming spontaneously. You understand? They didn't plan it. They didn't write it out. It was the testimony of Jesus anointed. And that is the spirit of prophecy. So, speaking in another tongue is utterance in a language you don't know. Prophecy is utterance in a language you do know. But the utterance is coming from the same place. It's not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your heart. The Holy Spirit and your spirit. So when we talk about praying in the Spirit, this is a subject that covers so many areas, because everything we're saying about praying in the Spirit applies to being led by the Spirit. Because the connection's the same. The same Spirit who helps you pray through your own spirit, He also bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. He also helps lead you. Hold your place here and go to Proverbs, if you would. Is this okay?
Yes.
Proverbs. Let me see. 20. Proverbs 20. And let's see, that doesn't look right. Yeah, 20:27, that's right. 20:27, Proverbs. They'll put it on the screen for us. It says, the spirit of man. Now this distinguishes from the spirit of God. You are a spirit. God is Spirit. He is the Father of spirits. And you are spirit. You're not just a body. You're not just a brain. You are spirit being. And you have a soul. And the soul and the spirit are closely connected. They are not the same thing. But they are, you know, Hebrews 4:12 compares them to marrow and joint. Well, marrow and joint, or marrow and bone, are they closely connected?
Yes.
Very closely connected. But here it says the spirit of man, not the spirit of God. The spirit of man is what?
The candle.
The candle, or that word can also be translated lamp. Back then they didn't have light bulbs. So this was their lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Said out loud, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. The Young's literal translation says it like this. This is interesting. Young's literal translation. And I like Young's literal because it's literal. No, for real. A lot of translations are actually not word for word translations. They are paraphrase. The translators are telling you what they think it means. I don't want you to tell me what you think God meant. I want to know what He said. And I want to know the words He used to say it. Right? And I'm not saying you can't ever read or use a paraphrase, but just be aware of what you're reading. And you need to have something that you can check it against to see, okay, they didn't use that word. But here, notice it says, the breath of man. The breath of man is a lamp of Jehovah searching all the inner parts of the heart. Now, you know, we asked what a few weeks ago, asked the Lord to give us revelation about what is man, what is the spirit of man, what is the soul of man, the heart, the mind. And there's revelation right here. When God created, well, let me back up a little bit. The word spirit, whether it's ruach in the Hebrew or it's pneuma in the Greek. Does that word pneuma sound familiar? Pneumatics? That's air stuff, right? Well, both of them mean air or wind or breath. And it's the same word translated spirit, whether it's spirit of God, your spirit, the Father's spirit. In fact, go to John 3. I've got to slow myself down a little bit. John 3. And let's remind ourselves of what happened when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a ruler of the rabbinical class and a highly regarded man, apparently. And most of the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they didn't accept Jesus. They rejected him. But Nicodemus didn't reject him. He liked something about him, but he didn't go over there in the middle of daylight. He thought he'd keep his job a little longer. John 3 and verse 1. John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, come on, get the picture. It's nighttime. And, of course, back then, you know, there's no electricity, so people are burning oil lamps or something and didn't necessarily stay up all that late, but it's after dark. Knock on the door. Somebody went and answered and said, Jesus is for you. Who is it? It's one of the rulers of the synagogue. Okay. So he comes and he didn't lead the conversation. He said, yeah, I'm Jesus. What can I do for you? He said, Rabbi. Now that sets him apart already. Right? Because his fellow folks at the Sanhedrin, they're calling him a false teacher, false prophet, all that kind of thing. Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. Ooh, boy. No wonder he came over in the nighttime. We know you're a teacher come from God because nobody could do the miracles that you're doing except God was with him.
Amen.
Smart man. Right? Amen. I mean, undeniable. These kind of a lot of these things had never happened in the history of humanity. He's saying a man can't just do this. God's involved in this.
Amen.
Right? And he had enough understanding. If God's involved in this, we best show some respect.
Hallelujah.
Right? Instead of just marking it all off. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said. Notice he didn't say, well, that's interesting. Nicodemus. So you think God's in this, do you? Mm-mm. No, no. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus wasn't talking about being born again.
Right.
Nope.
It's like Jesus almost didn't even hear what he said. And just cut right through everything and said, you got to be born again.
Yep.
Nicodemus said, huh? Whoa, where'd that come from? You know, can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born. What are you talking about? Jesus said, except a man is born of water, that's a natural birth, and of the Spirit. Now, we who have been born again, that's where that phrase comes from, is right here in this chapter. Actually, it's literally born from above. Is a spiritual rebirth. Obviously not physical, because whatever body you had before you got born again, you go look in the mirror, it's the same one. Right? Wasn't your body that got born again. It wasn't your mind that got born again. But it was your spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, it didn't say it's a good thing to have. People who have not believed on Jesus and not been born again will not go to heaven. This is a mistake you hear a lot of people. You hear a lot of people, no matter what, when folks die, they go, oh man, you know, so glad they're in heaven. Did they go to heaven?
No.
Everybody's not going to heaven. No. No. If you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Not according to me or some denomination. Jesus. How many believe his words? It's real simple. If you don't know that you are born again and that you have received the Lord, you better pray with me in a few minutes later here. Huh? I'm telling you. Life is short. And you better receive Jesus as your Lord so you can enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Born of water, born of flesh. And you know, we know our bodies are mostly water.
Right.
And some dirt. Is that right? Dust. Water and dirt. Now, man, this is so big. Hold your place here. Before we finish this, hold your place here and go to Genesis. Oh, thank you, Lord. Genesis, or they'll put it on the screen for us. Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the what? Dust of the ground. And then did what? What did he do? What? He formed man of the dust of the earth. God did it. What kind of knowledge and wisdom and understanding does it take to make one of these? Man has never made anything like this and never will. People talk about AI, you know, people becoming, you know, fully functioning intelligence just like a human being and surpassing it, will never happen.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Why? Because it's not taking into account that man is not just neurochemical reactions.
Yes.
We are spirit beings.
Right.
You will never put a spirit in a computer.
Nope.
It'll never be. Never be. It's ones and zeros.
Yep.
That's right.
It's an adding machine. That's great. I like them. I use them. But they'll never be us or anything remotely close. Mm-mm, no. Fears of that are completely unfounded. Now, not to say they couldn't make some mistakes and cause us some problems, yet, but they won't be us ever. And he made that. And so the body is laying there on the ground, lifeless. There's no life in it. But it's everything that you and I have. Head, arms, feet, internal organs, skin, everything's there. Was not born of a woman. People say, which came first, chicken or the egg? What laid the egg?
Right.
You can believe something else if you want to, and be wrong. But I didn't write this,
nope.
Huh? Notice he may keep reading. He formed man of the dust of the ground and did what then? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, that's not exactly the word for soul. It's the word nefesh. And that's this subject is quite something, because sometimes the same original Hebrew or Greek word will be translated 40 different ways in the scripture, because the translators didn't understand. But either way, it basically could be translated living creature or a living creature. But God's not doing mouth to mouth on this. Something in him, spirit, he put into that body. And man, that is the spirit now of man inside the body. And when the spirit came into the body, the man began to breathe.
Amen.
And this is an anchor point for understanding this. The spirit is inseparable from the breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. How'd you do that? You're alive. If you weren't alive, you couldn't do that. How do you do that? Now some will say, oh, we nowadays with science, we understand. You know, there's the nervous impulses come from that region of the brain. And there's the muscles on the ribs, they contract and help the lung. Okay. But where did it come from to get to there? Huh? Where did it come from to get to there? And where does it come from to get inside that unborn baby? And then why did the person stop breathing when they died? What's causing those electrical and neuroelectrochemical things happening in the brain and involuntary heartbeat. No, what's causing that? There's a source of that. People say, oh, it's the mystery of life. Yeah. Yeah. And it comes from the Almighty who created life. And He took something right out of Himself. Spirit. And He breathed it into the body. Woo! Hallelujah! And Adam went and became self-aware and conscious, a living being. Oh, somebody say glory to God. A living being. Now, why am I talking about all this? Because He told us to pray in the Spirit. Right? Which is not the same as praying in the flesh. Well, if you don't know what spirit is, if you don't even know you are a spirit, if you don't know the Holy Spirit is in you, you won't even look in the right place. How many believe we're growing?
Amen.
We're developing. We're learning. James said, James 2:26, you don't have to go there. As the human body apart from the Spirit is lifeless, faith without works is dead. The NCV, the New Century, says, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. What happens at death is not the cessation of existence. It is not. It is the spirit departing the body. And when the spirit leaves the body, then there's nothing to keep it breathing or keep it going, because that's the source. But when your spirit comes out of your body, and if the Lord tarries His coming just that much longer, you and I don't have another 100 years. Huh? So there'll come a point where we breathe our last. Is it something to be scared of?
No.
Only if you're lost.
That's right.
If you're lost, you should be terrified. Terrified. But if you're saved, if you know the Lord, no reason at all. In fact, something to you to look forward to. Be excited about. Because you'll stop breathing. Your spirit will come out of your body like a hand comes out of a glove. Like a foot comes out of a boot. It'll come right out. And you'll still be exactly who you are right now. You'll have your full mind and faculties just like you are now. Only you won't be restricted and limited with anything, limitations that you had in your body before that. Now the good news is you won't even be done with your body. Mrs. Yeah, good riddance. No. Jesus bought and paid for this body with His own body and blood. And even though they go bury it, and even if it were to completely decay and turn into dust, when the trumpet sounds.
Amen.
Woo! When the trumpet sounds, oh, the ground is going to shake. The sky is going to shake. The grave is going to shake. Your bones are going to shake. And we're going to see what God can do. Yeah. Woo! And you and I, if we're already gone, we're going to be coming back with the Lord and to meet the people, and our bodies will be raised and we'll be able to re-enter them, and they will be a spiritual body, incorruptible. That cannot age, cannot be sick, cannot be broken, cannot decay. And so shall we ever be.
With the Lord.
Can we keep it together just a little bit longer? Can we? Can we? Somebody say, I can. I can. I can. I can hold on just a little bit longer. I can get there with the Lord's help. Yeah. Yes, I can. Luke 23, I will soon be finishing here. Remember you, I took extra time earlier. You remember that? And you weren't going to dock me. You remember that? So, Luke 23:46, the Bible describes this. Luke 23:46, when he was on the cross, and he died. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This is faith, brother, sister. Because he knew he was about, it had already begun of him being judged for all of the sins and ugliness and filth of all generations of humankind. It wasn't over. It was just getting started. He knew that. But in faith, he allowed himself to be killed. They couldn't have done it if he hadn't allowed it. He said, "Nobody takes my life from me. I have received this commandment from my Father. I lay it down." He said, "I got power to lay it down, and I got power to take it up again." He had heard that word from the Father. And that's what he's doing. He is dying, and I don't know that we could begin to relate about holiness and purity, totally allowing himself to experience death and sin and judgment. We don't fully know what he did for us. But he said, "Father," I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, "I'm trusting you. I know my spirit's coming out of my body now." And you know, he knew what was about to happen of the 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth and the judgment and all that stuff. He said, "But Father, you're going to take care of me. Amen. You will have my spirit." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "I'm committing my spirit to you. Into your hands." How many know that's a good word for you and I to keep in mind? Is that right? When it comes time for us to go? Huh? And we face something we've never faced before. We say, "Father, I'm trusting you." Amen. Right, here we go. My spirit, who I am, everything I in your hands. It's in, I'm trusting you to get me through. And he cried with a loud voice. He said, "Father," this is the Young's literal, "to your hands I commit my spirit." And these things having said, he breathed forth the spirit. Or literally you could say he expired. Now when we hear expire, that means that's the end of it. But that's not what it means. That's a breathing term. Inspiration. Expiration. Breathing in. Breathing out. Now the reason I took time with this today is because you want to pray not just out of your head. Not just in your flesh. You want to pray with your spirit. Right? Out of your innermost being. Where the Holy Spirit is there to help you. You want to pray with Him. Well, you already know more about this than you think. Take a breath. I know you've been doing it all your life. Ever since the doctor slapped you behind. But it's quite something. I said, it's quite something. Nobody can fully explain to you how you do this today. Take a breath. How can you do that? Spirit. Your spirit is connected to your breath. Praying, how to pray in the spirit, with the spirit, is as close as the source of your breath. Right? And it can, praying with the Spirit and in the Spirit can be as normal to you as breathing. Huh? The issue is not just getting in your head and in your intellect or yelling and screaming, doing something in the flesh. It's not head, it's not flesh, is spirit. What did Jesus say? It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Didn't he say that? And so when Jesus was dying, his body was dying. He didn't die, but his body died. He tasted death for every man, the scripture said. But he said, Father, here's my spirit. Here, into your hands. And then he went, and his body slumped over. Because his spirit had come out of his body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is the Lord helping us or not?
Yes.
Go back to John 3 and we'll close with this, I think. John, Gospel account of John, chapter 3. Remember Nicodemus came to the door?
Yes.
He wants to talk about miracles. And Jesus acted like he didn't even hear him. And said, boy, you got to be born again. This is must have. Be born again. And he said, well, how in the world? Born again? Born again? You can't be, how can you be born again? He's thinking flesh, not spirit. And that's the whole point Jesus is contrasting, is the difference between flesh and spirit. Most people on the planet live and die and they're never even aware of what they are. You got people believe they're identical to animals. You know, just a highly evolved animal. That means they don't believe in God like they should. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Word. You and I are made in the very image and likeness of the Almighty God, the Father of spirits. When He breathed into man, that's something out of Him. Oh, come on, can you see this? He took something of Himself and put it into that body of dust. That's why the inside of us will never die. It came out of Him. It lasts forever. Whoa, somebody say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
John 3. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists. This word wind is the word pneuma. It's exactly the same word translated Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Holy pneuma. Or holy wind. Same word. Same word as breathing. On the day of Pentecost.
All right.
When the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Hallelujah.
They're all gathered together in one accord. In one place.
Right.
And there came a sound from heaven. Like a rushing, mighty wind. And the term, he blew in? He blew in. Whoosh. Into, who's there? Not just a wind. Spirit. The Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
John 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, there are two terms here you want to distinguish. Born of the Spirit is the new birth, being born again. Being filled with the Spirit, that's another term.
Yes.
And the people in the book of Acts who had been born of the Spirit were later filled with the same Spirit and actually filled again.
Yes.
And filled again.
Amen.
Every day of your life, you're not born of the Spirit over and over again. You're born a child of God. Now you'll always be a child of God. But every day of your life, you are more or less filled.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I've said it before. You know, somebody says, "Well, hey, did you hear about that preacher, man? He ran off with the building player, the building fund, and the piano player, and you know, and he's a tongue talker, spirit filled." I say, "Well, not that day he wasn't." Right? He wasn't filled with the Spirit that day. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you don't run off with other people's wives and you don't steal the building fund. That's another spirit. Y'all okay or not? We have used the term spirit-filled too broadly and too loosely to where it doesn't mean the fullness of what it should mean to us. But I'm just talking this morning about spiritual things being real to us. Take another breath. How'd you do that? If you weren't you, the spirit, you, if you weren't in your body, you couldn't do that. And as soon as you leave your body, the body cannot breathe anymore. Your spirit is directly connected to your breath. Y'all okay? How many think this will help you? This will be good. Listen to Young's literal translation of this eighth verse. Young's literal. It says, "The Spirit, where He wills, does blow, and His voice you do hear. You have not known where He comes and where He goes. Thus is everyone that's been born of the Spirit." All of the terms that say Holy Ghost, that's holy pneuma. I actually prefer the word spirit. Ghost is an old English word. But spirit is the word. Same word talking about your human spirit. And that's why I read Proverbs 20. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. One more and then we'll dismiss. John 20. You're there in John 3. Go to the 20th chapter. And this is near the front of the book. And now this is at the end of the book. He talked about being born again. He talked about the wind, breathing, spirit. Now, at the end of the chapter, John 20 and 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and that's what this is today, Sunday, is the first day of the week. Yesterday was the Sabbath. Y'all with me? The seventh day is the Sabbath, and it's supposed to be a day of rest.
That's right.
Still today. Uh-oh, somebody didn't. I'm telling you. Okay. John 20 and 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This is after Jesus has been crucified. Jesus came. Thought he was dead. I am he that liveth. Hallelujah. Was dead. But I'm alive. And will be alive forevermore. Jesus stood in the midst and he said, "Peace to you." Reckon they felt something? And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. I'm sure the glory of God could change that. But it's a the scars are a sign of honor.
Yes, sir.
And what he did for us. And when you see him, you'll be able to see those scars. And you know they're there not because for his sake. They're there for your sake. Right? Anybody willing to kiss them? Kiss a scar and say, "Thank you." Then said Jesus to them, "Peace to you, as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And when he had said this, oh, come on, y'all with me or not? When he said this, what did he do?
Breathe.
When he said this, what did he do?
Breathe.
He breathed on them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Same word breathe, same word spirit. Same word wind. breathed on him. What is this? This is when they were born again.
Amen.
They weren't born again in Acts 2. That's when they were filled with the Spirit. Why here? Well, tell me what's required to be born again. You believe, huh? You confess Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God has what? Well, see, only just now do they have opportunity to believe that. Can you see this? This has just happened. And now with him standing in front of them, they got to believe, I'm not seeing an apparition or a vision or something. He has raised from the dead.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Yes. And they were already following him to start with. And so when he said, peace to you. And he said it again, peace to you. Why? Because, well, you see somebody that you buried a few days ago. And see, if you don't need a little peace spoken over you. When he had spoken, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Man, this is reminiscent of Genesis.
Amen.
Right? When God, when the Father created man and breathed into him the breath of life. Why? Because there is a birth of flesh, of water, but then there is another birth, born from above. Hallelujah. The rebirth of the human spirit, where we come out of darkness and out of death into God's kingdom and his dear Son, and are now forever family of God. We are the living sons, men and women. Living sons of the living God, because the living spirit is inside my spirit. Hallelujah. Giving me not just life for this body, but eternal life that will never end.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Stand on your feet, everybody.